All right. Welcome to Harbor Church. Really good to worship with you this morning. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here. And like you just saw, there's so many different ways that folks in our church are experiencing life in a new way through our church family. And that all comes from the new life that we're celebrating today. And that's the new life that we celebrate every year at Easter. Now, I know that we've got different folks here for Easter from different segments. Like some of the folks here, you come to church every single week. You have been coming for decades, and I just want to say thank you. It's so good to see you. Welcome. Some of you, you haven't been to church since last Easter. That's okay. I want to say welcome back. It's really, really good to have you. Some of you didn't even know when you woke up this morning that you were coming to church. Your wife was like, hey, let's go to brunch. I'm driving. And instead, she drove you to church. So I just want to say sorry for the bait and switch. We don't condone that. But I'm really glad you're here. We're celebrating the new life that Jesus brought. And I know if you come to church mostly on Easter, you might be thinking some things. Most people, they have a few questions. And one of them is, why do these people always talk about the same thing every Easter? Why are they always bringing up the resurrection thing? Is that all they talk about? Well, I assure you, if you come to church on the Sundays that aren't Easter Sunday, we do talk about other stuff besides the resurrection. So you're welcome to come back. Check it out. But yeah, the resurrection is something we talk about a lot, and it's a big deal to us. So it's a valid question. Why is the resurrection such a big deal for our faith? Here's why. Because it is the very foundation for our faith. The resurrection is what everything else about our faith is built on. The fact that Jesus came and he lived just like the prophet said he would. The fact that he died on the cross like he said he would. The fact that he rose from the grave like he said. The fact that hundreds of people witnessed him alive and then swore with their lives, paid with their lives to testify to that. Easter changes everything in life. If the tomb isn't empty, then Christianity is just another philosophy. But if the tomb is empty, that means everything changes. Everything in the world. Did you know that even your phone in your pocket changed because of the resurrection? Yeah, if you got an iPhone or a Mac or an iPad, maybe you've noticed how hard it is to turn these things off. You go through three different switches or settings or whatever just to turn the thing off. Some of the new Macs, the power button is on the bottom, so you have to lift the whole thing up to find that button on the bottom to get it off. Did you know why that was? You know why they do that? It's because a couple of years before Steve Jobs died, he started believing something new. All his life, he'd been an atheist. But then when he found out that he had cancer, he started slowly developing a belief in God. He started believing in the afterlife. He even started believing in the resurrection. Look at what he said. I just can't accept that the body just turns off one day and then it's all over. You're gone forever and then one day the sun of our solar system goes out and that's the end of human history. There's got to be more to it than that. And then look at what he said. That's why I don't like to put on-off switches on Apple products because I don't like the concept of being able to just flip a switch and turn something completely off. And Jesus says, amen to that. That's what Jesus says. Because when Jesus rose from the grave, he proved you couldn't just turn him off. He just went into lock screen mode, that's all. And then a few days later, he gained new life at the resurrection. And that moment, the moment of the resurrection, that changed everything. I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments in life where you were living through that moment and you're like, oh, everything just changed in that moment. Have you ever had an experience like that? Like when I was in college, I told myself I wasn't going to get married till I was 28. I just set that line in the sand. No marriage till 28. And then I met Cindy. And then I knew in that moment, my whole life plan was going to have to change. I got married at 21, all right? Everything changed then. There's the moment when I held our first kid in my hands. I knew in that moment everything in life was going to change. I knew in that moment there was going to be a lot less Xbox and ESPN and movies in my life and a lot more bottles and dirty diapers in my life. And I was all in for it. Because somehow, in that moment, I felt a love for this little alien in my arms that I had never felt for anything else before. Everything changed in that moment. Guess what? The resurrection, it's that kind of moment. It's that kind of moment. Because if the tomb is empty, that changes everything for the world. If the tomb is empty, that means anything's possible for your life. That's what Jesus said the night before he died. Look at what he told his disciples in John chapter 16. He said, in a little while, you'll no longer see me. Again, in a little while, you will see me. He's talking about dying and then rising from the dead, but his disciples are all confused, as usual. And so it says, then some of his disciples said to one another, what is this he's telling us? In a little while, you'll not see me. Again, in a little while, you will see me. And because I'm going to the Father. They said, what is this he's saying in a little while? We don't know what he's talking about. The disciples are murmuring to themselves, you got any idea what he's talking about? No. You got any idea? No. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt this way when you tried to read the Bible. Maybe you felt this way when you came to church. This guy is up here talking and talking, and we have no idea what he's talking about. If that's you, you'd make a really good disciple. Because they were confused most of the time. And they had all kinds of questions all the time. And the good news is, Jesus, he's not offended by our questions. Jesus isn't offended by our questions. Unlike me. When my kids ask me about what I'm doing, I start feeling like they are attacking my intelligence, attacking my judgment, attacking my manhood. I get all offended when my kids ask me about what I'm doing. Jesus isn't like that at all. He doesn't get offended by our questions. He doesn't run away from our questions. He welcomes our questions. And so the disciples are going, why do you need to leave and go away? Why do you need to die and then rise from the grave? Why can't you just keep on trucking, Jesus? Just keep on doing what you're doing, Jesus. Why can't you just keep healing and teaching and miracle working? Why do we need this whole resurrection thing? Well, look at what it says in the next verse. Jesus knew they wanted to ask him. And so he said to them, are you asking one another about what I said? In a little while, you'll not see me again. And again, in a little while, you will see me. Truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. Now, whenever you see that word truly in the Bible, whenever you see Jesus saying that, that means pay attention. That means this is really important. Maybe you grew up reading the King James Bible and you heard him say, yea, verily, verily, same thing. That means Jesus is going, hey, listen up. Here's the game plan. In a couple days, or actually tomorrow, I'm going to die. But then in a couple days, I'm going to rise from the dead. When I die, the world, they're going to rejoice. The world around you, because I'm not the Messiah that they wanted. I'm not here to launch the kind of kingdom they wanted. And so they're going to be happy I'm gone, but you're going to weep and mourn. Look at what Jesus says. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. Your sorrow will turn to joy when I rise from the dead. Because that's what the resurrection does. That's what the resurrection gives. You want to know why the resurrection is such a big deal? Here it is. Because the resurrection gives joy. Your sorrow will turn to joy. That's what Jesus promised the night before he died. And that's exactly what happened the day that he arose, the very first Easter Sunday. When the woman arrived at the tomb, they didn't come down to the tomb expecting a resurrection. They didn't expect that at all. They weren't fangirls coming down to get selfies with the new king of Israel. No, the Bible says they came with spices. And when you hear that, don't think like basil and oregano, okay? We're not talking about Montreal steak seasoning. That's not the kind of spices they were bringing. They're bringing spices for a burial. They came to the tomb expecting to prepare a body for burial. They didn't come to the tomb looking for a miracle. They came looking for closure. And then they met the risen Christ. And just like Jesus said, their sorrow was turned into joy. Because his death, it took on a new meaning. It's the death of Jesus that brought heart-wrenching grief. And it's the death of Jesus that brought unconditional grace. The same thing. The death of Jesus is the saddest event in human history and the happiest event in human history at the same time. I mean, the crucifixion of Christ, it should disturb us. If we think about it, it's just profoundly sad that we messed things up so bad in this world that it took the creator of the world dying in order to set things back into place. That's profoundly sad. But it's also profoundly joyful that he did it. It's profoundly joyful that he did it for us, that he did it to save us. The very thing that makes us sorrowful is what also brings us joy. And Jesus wants to give us a metaphor for that. He wants to give us an illustration of that. Look at what he says in verse 21. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. Yeah, because labor is painful. And for all the moms who've gone through labor, can I get an amen? Yeah. For all the dads who witnessed labor, can I get a double amen? Yeah. That's traumatic going through that, bro. We dudes are not prepared for that. We don't know what to expect of that. No matter how much we prepare for that, it's not enough. Cindy and I, we went through 8 weeks of childbirth classes. And so I spent 8 weeks learning how to rub her shoulders the right way during labor. I spent 8 weeks learning how to give the right words to encourage her and coach her through labor. Then the day came. Labor started. Okay, we raced to the hospital. I'm like, game on. I crack my knuckles. I'm going in for the shoulder rub. And Cindy's like, don't touch me. I'm like, okay. Got this. So I start bringing out my encouraging words. You got this, girl. Let's go. And she's like, don't talk to me. Yeah. Because labor is so painful, and all of us dumb, useless dudes, we just add to the pain. That's the only thing that we can contribute in that whole experience. There's nothing that can take away the pain of childbirth, but Jesus says the very thing that's causing all of that pain, the baby, yeah, that's the thing that's going to give you incredible joy just a little later. Look at what Jesus says. When she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. Yeah, that's what leads to baby number two. You forget about all the pain of baby number one, right? So you also have sorrow now, but I'll see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. That right there, that's the hope of the resurrection. The hope that no matter what kind of tunnel you're in, there's light at the end, that Jesus gives joy that nobody can take away. That's what the resurrection proved. The resurrection, it answers all your biggest questions in life. And so that's why Jesus says in verse 23, in that day, in the day that I rise from the dead, you will not ask me anything. After the resurrection, you don't need to ask any more questions. Everything, it just kind of makes sense because the resurrection of Christ explains everything else about Christ. It's the most important thing about Christ. If you read the sermons of the apostles in the book of Acts, that's all they're ever talking about. That's all they ever want to preach about is the resurrection of Jesus. It's a huge deal because the death of Jesus proves his goodness and grace, and the resurrection of Jesus proves his glory and his greatness. And that's what gives us certainty in life. You want to know why the resurrection is a big deal? Here's why. Because the resurrection brings certainty. It's the certainty that if Jesus can rise from the dead for you, that means he can do anything for you. Anything at all. You can be certain of that. Maybe you're like, okay, that sounds nice, but what if I'm still not so certain about the actual resurrection itself? I mean, it kind of seems like a made-up mythical story to me. Well, if that's you, yeah, you're in really good company. There's a lot of folks who've felt that way. And they've come up with a lot of different ideas to try and explain the resurrection, like the fainting theory. This is the idea that Jesus just kind of fainted on the cross, and they thought that he was dead, so they buried him, but then he woke up in the tomb, and he walked out. Well, here's the problem with that theory. The Bible says, and it's really well attested, that soldiers poked a spear into his side, and blood and water came out. And what that means is that his lungs had collapsed. Our boy was dead, okay? Not mostly dead, dead. There's also the hallucination theory. It's the idea that the disciples were so distraught by the death of Jesus that they just hallucinated him rising from the dead. Here's the problem. According to all medical records that we can find, almost every hallucination just lasts for a few moments, a few minutes. This hallucination lasted 40 days. And then on top of that, this hallucination was had by hundreds of people who all hallucinated the same thing. That's never happened before in history. Okay, well, there's also the conspiracy theory. It's the idea that the disciples stole the body of Jesus out of the tomb, and then they lied, and they said that he rose from the dead. Here's the problem. Every single one of the disciples was executed for proclaiming that Jesus rose from the dead. Killed for saying that Jesus rose from the dead. It's inconceivable to me that not one of them would have at least said, you know what, maybe I was wrong about that. Can I get off this cross if I tell you I was wrong about that? Not one of them did that. And the fact that not one of the disciples went back on their story proves to me that they believed in the resurrection down to their bones. And so that's why they just couldn't stop talking about it, because their sorrow turned to joy. That's the biggest proof of the resurrection we've got. These guys who were down bad suddenly had so much joy, they just couldn't contain it. What Jesus said was true. The resurrection, it changes everything. Family, if Jesus can rise from the dead for you, that means he can do anything for you. And that's what Jesus is saying in the next verse. Look at what he says. Truly I tell you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your joy may be complete. You just got to ask in Jesus' name. The problem is that we usually ask in our name. That's just how we roll. The disciples did. Jesus says, you've asked for nothing in my name. Yeah, I know you guys, you've asked for a lot of things. Okay, you asked for power and promotions and glory. Yeah, you asked for that. You asked for revenge against the people you don't like. You asked for an escape when life got too tough. But you didn't ask for any of that in my name. You didn't ask in light of my glory and greatness and goodness and grace. You asked the creator of the universe for manini little things like a better job title. Man, you're just not thinking big enough. And I think Jesus says the same thing to us. I know maybe you've asked God for things and you wonder why he didn't answer. Maybe it's because you're just like the disciples. Maybe you just weren't thinking big enough. You asked the creator of the universe for a raise, maybe. But if the tomb is empty, anything's possible. If the tomb is empty, your marriage can be healed. If the tomb is empty, your dead-end job can be redeemed. If the tomb is empty, your disease can be destroyed. If the tomb is empty, your sin can be smashed. It can be obliterated. The resurrection is what gives you certainty that Jesus can do anything. And that's what leads you to to number three. The resurrection gives peace. Incredible peace, which is what we're all looking for in life, right? All of us parents are looking for a little peace and quiet at home. All of us employees are looking for a little peace from the stress at work. Well, look at what Jesus says in verse 33. He says, I've told you these things. I've told you about my death and my resurrection so that in me you may have peace. That's the end goal of all of this. You will have suffering in this world, but be courageous. I've conquered the world. He's talking about peace in the middle of suffering, which tells me that his idea of peace might be a little different than my idea of peace. My idea of peace includes no stress, no worries, no conflict, no trials. My idea of peace includes a pool and a lounge chair and a margarita. That's what my idea of peace includes. But Jesus is saying, peace, it doesn't come from your circumstances. Peace doesn't come from your condition. Peace comes because he conquered. Jesus is saying to you right now, you can have peace in any condition because I conquered the world. I conquered everything that's awful about the world. Family, you can have peace. Because number one, Christ conquered death. Christ conquered death. And I know we don't like to talk about death. We don't like to think about death. But I just saw a study that came out from the John A. Burns School of Medicine at UH. It's a new study. Here's what they found. The death rate in Hawaii, it's still 100%, okay? It's still 100%. So I'm not a fortune teller. I don't know your future, but here's one thing I do know. One day, you're going to die. And the good news of the resurrection is that Christ conquered death. The resurrection brings victory over death. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory? Where death is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? What a great question. You know, honeybees, they can only sting once. After that, they lose their stinger. They can't sting anymore. If death already stung Jesus, that means death can't sting you. He took the sting in your place. God gives us victory over death through Christ. And here's how he does that. Christ conquered sin. He paid for your sin when he died on the cross, and then he showed the receipt that he paid for it when he rose from the grave. His resurrection is the receipt that proves that he paid for your sin. It's like when you go to Costco, exactly like this. You put all this stuff into your wagon, and then you pay for it at the register, and what do they give you? A receipt. You got to hold on to that receipt to show to the guy at the door. Usually I forget, I stuff the receipt into my pocket, then I got to pull it out. It's just a wadded, crumpled mess. But when you get to the door, he asks for your receipt because that's what proves that you paid for everything in your wagon. That guy at the door at Costco, he's basically accusing you of shoplifting, right? He's basically saying, I think you stole everything in this wagon. And so when you hold up that receipt, what are you saying? Get out of my face, bro. That's what you're saying with that receipt. Get out of my face. This receipt proves that I paid for these 200 rolls of toilet paper. That's what that receipt proves. And the resurrection proves that Jesus paid for your sin. That's the proof. It's the proof that Jesus conquered your sin. If Jesus doesn't rise, you don't get redeemed. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. But since he was raised, your sin is smashed. It's obliterated. It's destroyed if you put your trust in him. Think about your worst sin. Just the worst thing you've ever done in life. The thing that haunts you when you wake up at 3:30 in the morning. Think about your worst sin. When Jesus died on the cross, that sin, as terrible and horrific as it was put on him. And then Jesus died to pay the penalty for that sin. And then Jesus was buried in the tomb along with that sin. 3 days later, Jesus walked out of that tomb, and your sin stayed in that tomb. If you've put your trust in Jesus, that sin is dead and buried. I love how Corey Ten Boom said it. God put our sin in the deepest parts of the deepest sea, and then he put up a sign that said, "No fishing allowed." There is nothing that can bring that sin back up again because Jesus buried it. He buried your sin, and that changes everything in life. Maybe there's some self-destructive habit that you can't kill. Maybe there's some relationship that you've destroyed. Well, the resurrection proves to you that there is more healing in Jesus than there is sickness in you. Believe that. Believe that Christ conquered your sin, and then out of that, believe that Christ conquered suffering. Because he said in John 16, you'll have suffering in this world, but be courageous, I've conquered the world. He's saying there's no way to avoid suffering. You'll never avoid it, not in this sinful world. But the good news is I conquered the world. He's not making light of your suffering. He's not making light of your pain. Jesus experienced the worst kinds of pain there are in this world. Jesus experienced the death of his closest friends, people he loved. Jesus was betrayed by some of his closest friends. Jesus was mocked and tortured and abused. Jesus had the wrath of God placed on him. Jesus experienced the worst kinds of pain in this world. But when he was resurrected, he conquered the world. And so whatever pain it is you're going through, it says in 2 Corinthians, that suffering is just light and momentary in light of what's coming. It's light and momentary in light of the victory of Jesus over whatever pain you're experiencing right now. You might just have to wait a little bit to see that. Which is one of the reasons why God waited to raise Jesus from the dead. You ever wondered that? Why God would have Jesus die on Friday and then wait to raise him until Sunday? Why would he do that? He could have just raised Jesus Friday night, done a whole big show, lights and fog machines and lasers, could have been an epic show Friday night. Why did he wait? Why did he make everybody go through the long agony of Saturday before he raised him on Sunday? Here's one reason. Because that's a lot of life. There's so many times in life when it feels like the long agony of Saturday. When you're asking yourself, where is God? What is he doing? Why did he forget about me? Well, the Easter story reminds you that you might feel like you're living in Saturday, but Easter Sunday is coming. Easter Sunday is coming, and that changes everything in life. Easter Sunday changes everything. When you feel like you've been betrayed by a friend and all you can think about is revenge. Easter Sunday changes when your marriage feels broken and is completely beyond repair. It changes everything you think about everything in life when you're trying to help one of your kids who's hurting and it just seems like you've got nothing to give, nothing to offer. Easter Sunday changes everything when you're going to bed tonight, wondering how you're going to deal with all the stress and worry that's waiting for you at the office or the job site tomorrow morning. Easter changes everything in life because Easter proves that Jesus conquered everything in your life. The resurrection is the receipt that shows he paid for it in full. So no matter what life throws at you, you can just hold up that receipt and say, get out of my face. when you're tempted to beat yourself up for some terrible thing you did. Just hold up that receipt and say, get out of my face. When you're worried about the future, you don't have any idea if you're going to make it. Hold up that receipt. Say, get out of my face. When you're all frustrated about the present, because life just makes no sense, hold up that receipt. Say, get out of my face. Because Jesus paid for it all. Jesus conquered it all. The empty tomb changes everything. It's not just something to remember one Sunday out of the year. It's something that changes everything in life every day of the year. Anything's possible with the resurrection of Jesus. You just have to put your faith in Jesus. You just have to put your faith in Jesus. The hope of the resurrection, it's a gift. But just like every other gift, it has to be received. And the good news is, it's really easy to receive it. It's as easy as ABC. A, admit that you've sinned against your Creator, rebelled against the God who loves you and provides for you. Admit your sin. B, believe that Jesus died to pay for your sin, and then rose from the grave to show the receipt that it's finished, is paid in full. C, confess Jesus as your King. Tell him that you want the hope of the resurrection to change everything in your life. If you've never received the gift of Jesus, if you've never received the hope of the resurrection, I want to invite you to do that right now. Let's all close our eyes right now. And maybe you haven't been to church since last Easter. Maybe you haven't been to church in forever. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you know a lot about Jesus. But you've never actually received the gift of Jesus. You've never actually put your trust, put your life in the hands of Jesus. But he is tugging at your heart right now. If that's you, you can receive Jesus just by repeating after me in the quietness of your heart. Just repeat this. Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I've rebelled against my Creator who loves me and provides for me. But I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died on the cross to pay for my sin. I believe he rose from the dead to prove it's paid in full. And so now I want to confess Jesus as my King. I want the hope of the resurrection in everything, every day of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying, for rising, for giving. It's in your name we pray. Amen.